It's time to get your geek on. Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek. Here is your host, Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, I am Todd, the 206 Geek. I am your host, like he says. Well, you know, and it's the thing. Today is September 21st, 2019. I am now officially, well, I was at midnight this morning, or last night, rather, 48 years old. I am 2 years away from 50. I'm having trouble kind of processing that, to be honest. I don't feel that old. I mean, exactly how old is that? I mean, how do you... I mean, I guess I do know people in their 50s, and they're really not... They're not old, but, you know, when you think back when you were a kid, 50 was, like, near death. So, yeah, so I just, you know, and I don't feel... You know, I don't feel old exactly. I mean, I there are days where I definitely feel like I am not young anymore. Hopefully that makes sense. But I don't feel old. I don't feel like I think I should be slow and although there are days where I do feel that, where I feel like I used to be decent at typing, and now I'm fat fingering the keys pretty much every time I type on the keyboard of my laptop or anything really, and it could be that there's problems with my keyboard, to be honest. At least that's the way I want to think of it anyway. Again, if you're new to the podcast, thank you for tuning in. Off the top of the show, I wanted to say, if you're not on podchaser.com and you like listening to podcasts, you should sign up. Go to podchaser.com. They just implemented a new thing that's still in beta, which basically means that they're still kind of working out the bugs. If you want to have access to the beta, when you sign up, it's going to ask you for a key. If you put in the 206 geek, all one word, no spaces, the 206 geek, it'll give you access to the beta. And it's basically, they're kind of implementing a social feed. So every time people who you follow or podcasts that you follow will show up in your feed on podchaser.com. So yes, if you want to, it doesn't cost anything. It's absolutely free. The best thing about Podchaser is that it's Podchaser, as it's been explained to me, and it seems very accurate, is that it's like the internet movie database for podcasters and podcasts. So if you want to find out what podcasts Kevin Smith has been on, other than his own, because he's been on all of them, it will show you every single podcast episode he's ever done that's not on his network. If you want to look up James Gunn, you can look him up. Look up anybody, really. And it will show you what podcasts you can find them on. And it will give you a link to where you can subscribe to the podcast. If you're on Android, on a PC, a Mac, or even an iOS, iPhone, iPad, that kind of thing. It will give you options to subscribe through whatever the appropriate app is or program for subscribing. Now, mind you, most people subscribe through like a mobile device, but you can subscribe through like a computer if you have a program that does podcasts or RSS feeds. And if you want to listen to them while you're at work and you don't want to use up your battery on your phone, you can do it that way. As far as programs I would recommend, I don't really recommend any specific ones, but the ones that I've used for the computer, I think the easiest one I've used was called Music Bee, and it's a free program. It's kind of like it's a media player. It'll play music as well as videos, but it has a section for podcasts, and I think it utilizes the iTunes search for podcasts, so you can look for podcasts and it'll pop up, and you can subscribe and it'll download automatically to your computer. So yesterday was the raid on Area 51, and I found a few videos, and, of course there was a lot of, I'm trying to think of a way to describe the people that were there that doesn't sound mean or anything, because you know,
Todd, don't be an asshole.
I know, Ralph. I know. So people who like to party, let's put it that way. That doesn't sound mean, right? People who like to go to raves and people who like to, you know, imbibe, I guess you could say. And there was a few videos of just people wandering around in the desert. Well, they weren't like aimlessly wandering the desert. There was, but there clearly wasn't anything beyond the group of people that were there. You could see some cars in the background parked alongside the road. Imagine this. You're out in the middle of the desert, and you're driving down the desert, and all of a sudden you see about 150 cars all parked along the side of the road and random people tailgating. That's pretty much what it was. People tailgating in the middle of the desert, in the Nevada desert, out in Rachel, Nevada. And apparently, and I think I talked about it last week. I don't remember if I did. I know I wanted to talk about it either way. There was a couple of kids from, I think, Norway or Sweden, one of the two. They got arrested for going across the... because there are gates on the roads to, you know, stop to... so you see where you can no longer drive unless you have access. Now, keep in mind, these gates are really there just as a, hey, just so you know, no much further than this. There's not a fence attached to the gate. At least the photos I've seen, anyway. You can walk around the gate. It's like a gate you'd see at a state park. So, all these people, well, these two guys specifically, and one was 20, and one was 21. They both got arrested. You know, and I'm sure they're gonna have to do have to go to court in the county there in Nevada. And these guys are from out of the country. At the very most. Or at the very least, what's going to happen is these guys are going to get told to leave the country and get their like visas or whatever revoked for coming to the States or whatever. I would imagine anyway, because you're basically trespassing on private government property. You know, and all these... I know that the thing started as a joke, but come on, people. It's a government installation. You know there's going to be, you know... there's going to be soldiers. There's going to be guns. There's going to be, you know, a military presence. Now, if you've looked into Area 51 at all, they don't have military soldiers stationed at the gates like they showed in Independence Day. In fact, I don't think there's anybody at the gates. But there are sensors, like motion sensors, microphones, cameras everywhere. With I think it's where I read one time that it was like, within 20 miles around the base. So 20 miles around the base, there's sensors and cameras and microphones. So they know when people are on the government property, when they're on the base. And so there's really no way to sneak on. They will know you're there. And everything I've seen on YouTube and other places online to talk about people who go out there to see the base. Not necessarily go on the base, but to see it. If you get too close, these white SUVs with like these private security guards wearing camouflage and, you know, assault rifles, machine guns. They let their presence be known. They don't necessarily come up and say, you can't be here, unless you go too far. Then they do that. But for the most part, initially, you will see you're going to be followed. You're going to stay back a ways, but they're going to let you know that they're there. I think anybody who decided to do this thinking that the government wasn't going to do anything to you was fooling themselves. Because those two kids, those two 20-something-year-olds, they both got arrested for trespassing. You know, that's in a federal installation even. So they're not just going to get a slap on the wrist. They're going to get the full extent of the law thrown at them. And because they're not from this country, it's going to be even harsher, I think. Because, you know, America and all. So, yes, and I, like I said earlier in this recording, I've only been recording for, what, 10 minutes? Today is my birthday. I'm 48 years old. I went and spent some time hanging out with some friends. I think I had some fun. Had some Mexican food, which was really good. I kind of joked about it, but to be honest, there's nothing better than authentic Mexican food. You really can't compare it to like fast food stuff. I mean, that stuff is good. It's not as good. So, and I had a nice big burrito. It was really tasty. And the only thing that I told them to not put on there was like beans and guacamole and sour cream. Guacamole because I think it looks gross. I've never liked guacamole because it looks like snot to me. And then sour cream because I'm lactose intolerant. After about 20 minutes after eating that, I would probably gas out the entire restaurant. It wouldn't be pleasant for anybody. Certainly not for me because, you know, I have to be the one who's like watching everybody else be tortured by the stink that is my ass. So I made sure that there was no dairy minus the cheese. And I didn't realize how much cheese they were putting on there. It was tasty. I'll give you that. I figured in about half an hour after eating the burrito that the cheese was going to be my downfall. And after we're done eating was about 15 minutes into or after we got the food and I was eating it and everything. So before we went back to my friend's house after going to the restaurant, they wanted to stop by Winco, which is a store. I don't know if you guys have them where you're at or not, but it's a cool store. It's like a co-op. And so we're in Winco, and I'm like, you know what? I need to go find a bathroom. So I'm a big dude. I'm about, last time I weighed myself, I was about 315, about 5'10". I'm not a small guy. I went into the bathroom. I'm not going to give you too much detail, folks. Don't worry. But I went into the bathroom and I sat down and immediately the sensor on the toilet flushed. I was like, oh, okay, that's not that weird. But, you know, as I'm sitting there, you know, waiting for nature to take its course, about 2 minutes after I sat down, flush again. All right, this is a really sensitive sensor, I think. Don't move around, Todd. Don't activate the sensor again. And as soon as I thought that, it flushed again. So I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Why are you flushing every 5 seconds or every 3 minutes? And I'm like, oh my God. Thankfully, I think there was only one other person in there. And they didn't say anything. They didn't laugh. They didn't snicker, thankfully. I would have been like mortified. I'm sitting there thinking this is embarrassing, yet I'm sitting there telling you guys who are listening to my podcast this story. Let's be honest. The embarrassing things that happen to you are probably the funniest things that happen to you. So I kind of look at it like that. I you should be able to laugh at yourself. You're taking life way too serious if you can't laugh at yourself. And I have days where I can't laugh at myself. Today was one of the days where I could. You know, and I'm laughing now. This is actually really funny to me. That's why I'm telling you, because if I think it's funny, you'll possibly think it's funny as well, or you might be completely grossed out by it, in which case, I'm sorry. but still, I was like, if it had happened to anybody else, I would have been like, hey, you know, my best Nelson impression, kind of thing. Oh, man. So, wow. Oh, I discovered like 3 days ago that my favorite documentary to like rewatch over and over again, I Know That Voice, is now available on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime and you've never seen I Know That Voice and you like cartoons or acting in general, this will kind of give you an insight to voice actors, how they create their characters. The guy who created this documentary is the voice of Bender from Futurama and Jake the Dog from Adventure Time and a bunch of other really cool things that they mentioned in the documentary, which I don't remember off the top of my head, even though I've seen it a billion times. He talks about how he created Bender, what voices he borrowed characteristics from to create the voice of Bender. And they even talked to Billy West and Rob Paulsen and June Foray, Gary Owens, who else? Mark Hamill, and a bunch of other people who you will definitely recognize the voices they're known for doing, because some of them actually do the voices on camera, which is always cool to me when you hear that voice you watched on TV coming out of an actual face, an actual person's face. And you go, hold, that's who did the voice? Oh my God. That's kind of what I was the first time I watched that documentary. I was like, I didn't know he did that voice. That is so awesome. I met a few of those people that were in the documentary because they filmed part of it at Emerald City Comic Con back in, I think, 2012 or 2013. And I remember them talking about them making this documentary at a panel I went to. In fact, that's the panel that introduced me to Rob Paulsen's podcast, which is Talkin' Toons, T-A-L-K-I-N apostrophe, Toons, T-O-O-N-S, with Rob Paulsen. If you like voice actors in general or just want to figure out how to do voice acting, that's also a great resource because they talk about the same kind of things, but he has one-on-one interviews with various voice actors that you would definitely recognize. Even if you don't know their actual name, you would recognize the voice they're known for doing. Some of my favorite ones on his podcast was the interview with Maurice LaMarche. LaMarche, I can say it. I really can. He is Brain from Pinky and the Brain. He is Egon Spengler from The Real Ghostbusters. He is the, the bird from Fruit Loops. I can't remember the bird's name off the top of my head for some reason. And then when we were at this panel, someone asked him if he was doing any voice things that people would hear, but wouldn't necessarily know it's him. He goes, currently I'm the voice of Lexus. I'm like, and the next time a Lexus commercial came on, I listened to it. I was like, oh my God, that is him. So next time you listen to a Lexus commercial, because I think he's still doing it, listen and you will hear the Brain. Watch. I'm not fooling you. So yeah, that was the podcast that got me into listening to podcasts. I listened to a number of episodes and I listened through all of the ones that he had in his catalog at the time. And I'm like, okay, I've listened to everything. What else is there to listen to? So I went on to the podcast app that I had at the time was called Beyond Pod, which is an Android podcasting app. And it had a search function where you could search for categories and through categories and stuff. And I was just looking for comedy and like geek culture, just those two things. I like listening to stand-up. I like listening to comedians talk about creating jokes and stuff, because at the time I was wanting to be a comedian. And so I started listening to, I was listening to the Jay Moore podcast, which was Moore Stories, spelled like his last name, M-O-H-R. And that was a great podcast. I think to go into his archive, you have to subscribe to a service in order to have access to it. But if you want to do that, one of the best episodes, and you might even be able to find it on YouTube if you search for Jay Moore and John DiMaggio. They had such a great chat on the podcast. It was one of those podcasts you had to pause every few minutes because you're laughing so hard. You don't want to miss anything. So, and they were riffing on just topics. Oh my God, it was so funny. I'm trying to remember some of the things that made me laugh the hardest. yeah, do a search for it on YouTube. I'm sure there's probably going to be a clip, if not the whole thing. John DiMaggio and Jay Moore, M-O-H-R. And then And then I ran across, I was like, you know what? Who else does podcasts that I know is known for doing other things? And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm looking in it, and I found that Smodcast, or Smodco, is Kevin Smith's podcasting network. Smodco, I think is what they called it. And so I was looking through their shows, and there's a number of them that don't have Kevin in it at all. If you like the comic book men, I recommend listening to Tell 'Em Steve Dave. That's pretty much the same group of guys, but it's a podcast. It's Brian Johnson, Walt Flanagan, Ming Chen, Mike Zapsik. I think all four of them. I know that Brian and Walt are on there. I also know that Ming and Mike have a different podcast, and I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But they actually do like a podcast class. I thought about if I had the money, I might actually reach out to them and do the thing and hope that maybe I can make a friendship with those guys. I would love to actually talk to them on my podcast. Just because I loved watching Comic Book Man on AMC. It was basically like a reality show version of Clerks. It was really funny. There were a lot of joking back and forth. It's a lot like how I was with my best friends, you know, over the years. Just, you know, hanging out, chit-chatting, joking about stuff, you know, laughing, having a great time, just enjoying life with your buddies. So I really dug that. And but I'm sitting there looking through, I listened to a few episodes of Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and it was funny, it was great, but it wasn't what I was looking for. Actually, I'll probably go back and start listening to it again. But then I found Hollywood Babylon. Not Babylon, Babel-on. Hollywood Babylon. And it's Kevin Smith and this radio DJ from L.A. called Ralph Garman. If you live in the L.A. area, you probably recognize him. He was on K-Rock, I think, in the morning. But those two basically would do like a current events kind of podcast where they talk about things that are happening in the news or on the internet. And they also did little, you know, shticks here and there. Ralph was great at doing impressions. And actually, over the years, Kevin has picked up a couple that are funny. They may not be great. Like, he wouldn't necessarily use them as a character for a movie or a show or something. Although he probably could. Some of the best shitty impressions become the best characters, as I've heard someone once say. Actually, I think it was on the Rob Paulson podcast. But Ralph does these really dead-on impressions of, like, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. The best one, though, is his impression of Harrison Ford. And Ralph is kind of a crotchety old guy. He's not really old. I think he's in his 50s, mid-50s-ish. But he sounds like, he kind of grumbles a bit like an older kind of like, get the fuck off my lawn kind of guy. Which I think is hilarious. But he bitches and complains about some of these people, and he does these impressions where he just busts in their balls. And he does this really funny impression of Stallone, or he does that too, but of Harrison Ford, where he's like, he's just basically mumbling. If you've ever listened to him on a talk show, unless he's like has a lot of energy, he does kind of mumble. And I'm not doing Ralph any justice here, so don't base my impression of his impression on anything. It just, I think it's hilarious. I want to do it. He's like, I don't know, crack the whip. It's really funny. And one of the things they do is he will sing a song in character as one of these people, as one of his impressions. And he sang "Whip It" by Devo as Pee Wee Herman. So funny. And a bunch of other songs he does. They were doing a bit for a while called Dynamic Duets with Bane and Adam West Batman. Well, Ralph does a spot-on impression of Adam West. If you didn't know it was Ralph, you'd swear it was Adam West kind of thing. And Kevin Smith does his best Bane impression. Kind of like that, you know. It's funny. I mean, then they do these duet songs in those characters. You know, Kevin as that Bane, and then, you know, Ralph as Adam West Batman. And some of those have been really funny, too. So that was another show that I really got into. And I liked the back and forth between the two. And that was kind of how I wanted my podcast to be. And that's kind of why I did it the way I did it. Stop it. I didn't. No, stop it. Display images synchronized with audio. Unplug the fucking dot. All right. Sorry about that. I wasn't talking to you, Alexa. Shut your mouth. I'm kidding. It's weird. I'll be talking on a phone call or something like I was just doing. I was talking to you guys. And Alexa will start listening. And I'm like, why is she activating? Is Amazon spying on me? And all of a sudden, it'll start talking like I asked it a question. And I don't think I said Amazon, but I might have said something similar. They thought I said Amazon. No, not Amazon. That's not the keyword. It's Alexa, I think is the keyword that turns it on. But yeah, so I started listening to that podcast, and I wanted to mimic the style of the stories and the back and forth that Kevin and Ralph had, and me and my former co-host had that. But then, you know, stuff happens and life goes forward and people kind of walk away, which, you know, that's something I'm working on. I don't think about it as much as I used to. It used to really kind of stress me out, and I get all kinds of anxiety about it, thinking about when he left the show and stopped being my friend. And, I mean, just talking about it now is making me a little bit emotional, but I'm not super, like, stressing over it, thinking, why, what did I do? How can I change it? How can I fix it? I don't do that anymore. I mean, I miss the guy. He was my buddy. He was my best friend. But, you know, I know, kind of looking back in hindsight, that I know I was probably not the easiest person to get along with because I was going through some really difficult things. And I think that's why he stepped away from that. And I have some other theories too, but I don't want to get into why he stepped away from being my friend. But, you know, it is what it is, and I'm trying to move on, and I'm trying not to think about it, you know. I don't wish him any ill will. I never did. I was mad because I was mad at him initially because I felt like I was, you know. You know, without it sounding stupid or anything, it felt like I was being broken. I feel like I was being dumped, is what it felt like. But we weren't in that kind of relationship. We were buddies. We were pals. He called me his best friend. I'm like, well, yeah, okay. But then at the end, he just decided, no, I'm no longer your friend. We're not going to hang out. I'm not going to do the podcast. I'm like, okay. And are you sure? You know, take some time off if you want, you know, whatever. And, you know, I don't, you know, we can, you know, work things out. I was thinking, you know, and he was like, no, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. Okay. Well, that sucks. And for about 3 or 4 months after that, I was struggling to find, I was struggling to find a way to do the podcast and have it sound like I'm having fun. And you could probably hear it in my voice. I was no longer having fun on the podcast. It wasn't a joy for me anymore. I was feeling like I was letting listeners down by not recording anything. And so I was putting myself under a lot of pressure to keep the show going without my co-host. And it was rough. So after, I think it was around April of that year that I stopped doing the podcast. I just stopped. I just stopped uploading stuff. I didn't have a host anymore. You couldn't find episodes because there was no place for me to put them. But I kept everything just in case I decided I don't want to do it again. I didn't think I was. I think I was done. I'm like, yeah, fuck this. I'm done. You know, but I didn't throw anything away. I didn't trash anything. I didn't get rid of anything. I kept it all. Cause, you know, maybe. And, thankfully I did. You know, 6-7 months later, I was like, you know what? I really miss recording podcasts. It doesn't matter if I have a co-host. I tried a new co-host, and that person did not work out either. You know, they only lasted maybe 3 episodes. You know, that person was very competitive. That's the word that I'm looking for. It felt like she wanted to fight me all the time. And I'm like, you know, if you're not into this, you don't have to do this. You know, you said you were into it, you wanted to do it initially, so I was like, okay, sure, let's give it a shot. But it felt like she was wanting to fight me on everything. I was like, why does it have to be a fight? Why can't we just talk about this? And that was my perception of it. I think that I was probably rubbing her the wrong way. I may have been saying or doing something that she didn't approve of or didn't like or whatever. You know, she's not to sound like an asshole, but she's a millennial, so, you know, they can be a bit hypersensitive, and I'm not trying to downgrade her because of that. I'm just saying that's kind of how I looked at it. Like, okay, this is what's going on here. This is why she's reacting that way. I'm not doing things intentionally to piss her off, but I was pissing her off nonetheless. So we kind of like went our separate ways. She went and did her own thing. I think that was right before I quit the podcast. I stopped doing the podcast right after that. And so when I decided to start doing the podcast again, it was like 6-7 months later, and I was like, and I didn't have anything that I was looking forward to every week. I wasn't doing anything. I'm not working. I'm in the process of getting on disability, you know, for mental health reasons. And, you know, and I, around that time is when I started going to therapy and started working on things that are like going on in my head. And that's when you start using words like perception and, you know, how do you feel, that kind of stuff. I didn't use those words prior to that day or that time. I'm a little bit more aware of things. I'm just kind of, well, I'm a little bit more aware of how my brain is acting. You know, I don't always pick up on subtle things. And as I think part of the reason why people would get mad at me people would think I didn't care. It's not that I don't care. It's just I didn't pick up on their subtle, like, I'm unhappy. I'm not happy with this situation, but I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be an asshole. Well, you kind of have to. I mean, you don't have to be an asshole, but you definitely have to be blunt with me sometimes. You have to be straightforward. There is no kind of beating around the bush with me. It just doesn't work with me. And so, like I said, after a while, I decided, you know what? I miss recording the podcast. So what I started doing was thinking of ways to do it where it didn't sound like. I think the other thing I did was I didn't have a set schedule. Before, I was like, I had to post brand new episodes every Tuesday, no later than 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now I just record whenever the need to record hits me, and then I post it later that day. I don't pre-record anything. I don't set it aside and say, I'm going to release this later. No, if I record something, I record it and then I release it that day or the next day. So yeah, and that's kind of what I've been doing since I started doing the podcast again, which was late last year. I brought back the podcast and I found a host that I can afford, which was free. I used that one for a bit. I started having problems with it because the host, for whatever reason, I think because it was free, would have issues with updates and stuff, and it wouldn't. You'd post a new episode and it wouldn't show up on your feed right away. So I started looking for another host, and I ran across this site called HearThis.at, and it's a site similar to SoundCloud. It's for people who record and create and so music and DJs and, you know, bands. They post their stuff to this site. Well, I was checking it out because I said, I remember this website. I think I've been here before. And I clicked the login, and you, of course, you can select either Google or Facebook login. And I did the Google and selected the Gmail account that I thought I may have used on this. And sure enough, I had used it before, and I started looking around on it to see if there was podcasts on this site, because it reminded me of SoundCloud in the types of things that were being posted and just their overall feel of it. I mean, it's not exactly the same. There's a lot of differences for sure, but very similar, the same feel. And so I'm looking around and I found out, yes, they host podcasts. And I was looking to see what the cost was. Well, the site is a German website, so like the prices were in euros. But then I saw that there's a selection to change it to US dollars. I was like, all right, how much is it for hosting here? I figured it was going to be like $16 a month, like it is at SoundCloud. $125 for a whole year. $130, something like that. That's what it was last time I had SoundCloud anyway. And now I'm looking at it, and when I switched it to US dollars, they didn't have like monthly fees for hosting. And the hosting, keep in mind, the hosting for this site is free. The only reason why I paid for, you know, the pro service, as they call it, is that it allows you to upload more content. With the free service, you get like, I think it's a gigabyte a month of transfer. And that's plenty if you're uploading, you know, hour-long podcasts. Because the average MP3 for about an hour is about 35 to 50 megabytes. You're not going to fill that up in a month. You're not going to use up all your bandwidth on that. The reason why I went ahead and paid for a year, and this is part of it, and the other part is I'll tell you here in a second. Part of it was that because if you have the pro account, it allows you to upload a lot more during the month. And I had a huge back catalog of podcast episodes I wanted to upload so people could see the old stuff with my former co-host. And I used to say his name, and I no longer will, just because we're not friends. We're not even acquaintances anymore. So I'm not gonna give him any plug. If you listen to the old episodes, you'll find out his name. Let's put it there. And then it allows you to upload a lot more, and you weren't going to run out of bandwidth. So I was like, okay, that's cool. How much? And I looked at it, I don't remember the amount it was in euros, but it ended up being about $45 US for a whole year. I was like, well, shit, I'll go ahead and sign up for a whole year. So I did, and then I started uploading all the old episodes, not all of them, but a fair amount of the old ones. And then I started recording brand new episodes. And before, the podcast was called just called 206 Geek. I was like, you know what? Maybe I should call it the 206 Geek because it's just me. I am the 206 Geek. And actually, that's partly because I had a friend of mine say, you should just call the podcast The 206 Geek because it's just you. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to have a co-host. I want to have someone to kind of riff with and be able to kind of interact with on the podcast. Well, because I didn't have it anymore, and the few people I reached out to says, hey, do you want to be a part of my podcast? Do you want to, you know, I don't have like a set schedule or anything, but if you do and you want to be able to record on certain days, I can work with you on that. And nobody seemed to want to do it because first of all, they're like interested, but then they realized they made no money with it. I was like, well, why would you do it if you're not making any money? Because I'm having fun. And some people, big names, they can make some money. They're not making enough to live off of, mind you. You know, I mean, the podcasts that all have like advertising on it and stuff, they probably make just enough money to keep their podcast on the internet. It basically keeps them in hosting costs. And with my host, it's relatively cheap, so I wasn't too concerned about that. I have tried in the past to do like a Patreon, and nobody seemed to be interested in paying to have access to the podcast a week or so early. And I was thinking I was gonna post brand new episodes on Patreon for the Patreon people, and then like a week or two later I'll put it up on the iTunes feed. You know, and no one seemed interested. People were downloading the episodes, but no one seemed to be interested in, you know, helping out the podcast, which is fine. I wasn't really expecting anyone to really subscribe, and maybe that's part of the problem. I wasn't expecting it. I figured people, if they like it, they will show their support. And you know what? I'm not suggesting you guys need to pay me, and I'm not saying that at all. I think that it'd be great if you did, but I'm not requesting it. I'm not requiring it. The best thing you can do for the podcast, though, is to give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcast and on Podchaser. You know, give it a 5-star if you think if you like my podcast, and give it a review. Tell people why you listen and why others should listen to it. Let them know. You can, you know, like I said, you can do it through Apple Podcast, or you can do it through Podchaser. I mean, if you're not an Apple user, you can't necessarily do it. Although you can through iTunes. If you download it to your computer, that's one of the other programs you can use on your computer is iTunes. If you download it through iTunes, you can do the review and the rating on iTunes. But if you're an Android person and you don't use it on your computer, go into podchaser.com, search for The 206 Geek, or you can just go to podchaser.com/The206Geek, and then you can give a rating and a review there. That would be great. That's about as much as I really want from you guys for my podcast. I mean, I'm not requesting you to do anything else. I have asked in the past if you guys want to interact with me, send me emails, shoot me a voicemail, that kind of thing. I would love it if you did, but it's not a requirement. You know. See, wow, I've actually been talking for 44 minutes and I haven't even touched anything on the internet. Actually, I wasn't even planning on doing any of that, to be honest. Other than the Air 51 thing, which I talked about already. Let's see here. Let's go to the Facebook page and see what it says there. Anyways, I don't know where I was going with all that. I guess it's just kind of off the cuff, talking about whatever pops into my mind. No filter, just, you know, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't looking for sympathy. It wasn't like, you know, feel bad for me, hate the other guy kind of thing. I wasn't asking for that. In fact, I don't even hate him. I don't. I mean, I was angry with him for a little bit, and I'm sad that we're not friends. But, you know, if he's not into it, he doesn't want to be my friend. I can't force him to be, you know, which sucks. But, you know, that's on him. If he's not interested in being my friend, there's nothing I can do to change his mind. I tried. In fact, I got a little annoyed when I tried. He seemed like he was doing me a favor, like he was doing it to be nice. He wasn't legit interested, so I kind of got annoyed. Saying, "Well, if you're not really interested in fixing our friendship, you don't need to do this to appease me. I want you to do it if you want to do it. I don't want you to do it because you think that's what I want." You know? And he's like, "All right, fine." I was like, "Well, I guess we're done. Have a good one." And that was it. That was the last time I ever heard from him, and that was like a year ago. But, yeah. And like I said, and the big thing that I was talking about today was that, you know, I was just talking about getting old and doing the podcast. I do the podcast because it's fun. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy telling stories. And to a certain degree, I like being the center of attention. You know, I mean, who doesn't, right? Unless you're really, really, like, introverted and you're like, "Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you," which I get that too. I understand that. I have those days as well. You know, in the last 3 years, I've had more introverted type days than I have extroverted days. And I think they call that being an omnivert. It's where you can be both an introvert and an extrovert. You're not one or the other, you're a little bit of both. Just depends on your mood, kind of thing. And so yeah, and I've, you know, and it's another reason why I was going to therapy is because I have a lot going through my mind in any given moment, and I think that's definitely anxiety and depression kind of issues, as well as I'm very ADD. Sometimes when I'm trying to talk about things and I'm trying to focus, I'll slow down a little bit, and you'll probably hear that too. And the other thing you're not aware of, because you can't see it, is I'm closing my eyes because I'm so easily distracted that if I have my eyes open, something in the room or on the computer or something is going to get my attention, and I'll lose my train of thought, and then I'll be like, "What was I just saying?" kind of thing. And that's a pretty much a lot of what I've been working on. I've been trying to figure out ways to kind of work around those types of things, so they don't happen as frequent as they used to, although they still do. But I'm more aware of it now, and I try to keep my focus by not letting outside interference kind of like distract me. And oh man, there is another great documentary for those who aren't ADHD, or they think they might be but don't know much about it. I'm trying to remember the name of the documentary. Is ADD? I think it's called ADD and Loving It. Yeah. It's a documentary that I saw on PBS last year. Yeah, ADD and Loving It. And it talks about what it means to be ADD and ADHD. They give you visualizations of what it's like for someone with these issues. And I'm watching this documentary, and it has humor in it, so I'm laughing. And at the same time, I got tears on my face because I'm seeing somebody else expressing the same thing that I go through on a daily basis. And I always thought that ADD was just, ooh, shiny, I'm easily distracted. Yeah, it's that, but it's also a lot more. It's like, have you ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden they just get really flustered or frustrated and freak out? That's someone who, with ADHD or ADD, is having trouble processing things, or they're not understanding something as being said, or whatever they're saying is not being understood by others. And that was the thing that got me emotional. Because I can't count the number of times that I'll be trying to express myself, and the people I'm talking to are looking at me like I have a giant bullseye on my forehead and a pencil sticking out of my ear. Like, what? You know, kind of thing. And, or the other thing that the documentary talked about was, like, people with ADHD and ADD are quick to anger. And I never knew that. I never knew that was a thing with people with ADD. That they have short tempers. And it's because of the frustration and the, you know, not getting things or not, people not understanding you. And there's been a number of times where I got really, really angry with somebody because I said something and they just looked at me like I was stupid. And, you know, and in hindsight, I definitely could have handled that better. But now I understand why. I mean, I knew, but I didn't at the same time, you know? It's like I knew this is how I was feeling, but I didn't know why. I didn't know why it was bothering me so much. I thought my reaction was stupid. So I'm not surprised that other people thought I was stupid. You know, it's funny. This is the most personal I've ever been on this podcast. And I think it has to do with the fact that this podcast I've been listening to for the past, you know, 8 or 9 months. It's an entertainment podcast, mind you, and I know I've talked about it, but I'm going to talk about it again because I really love this podcast. I get a lot out of it. The actor who played Lex Luthor on Smallville, his name is Michael Rosenbaum. His first podcast is called Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. And he talks to, like, his friends and people he's worked with on various projects. And of course, they talk about, you know, the things they're into and the shows and the things they've worked on. But because he himself is, like, working on things and trying to figure stuff out, he asks questions that you would probably get asked in a therapy session. So these episodes, while being entertaining, tend to be very therapeutic. And it's, I gotta tell you, it's really cool to hear someone talking about things that they have trouble with and are expressing themselves. Because then you feel like it's not just me. I love that. And I'm getting emotional again. You know? I really dig the show. You should check it out. Especially if you like. The most recent episode I listened to was, he was talking to, oh God, of course, as soon as I start to talk about it, I forget the guy's name. Let me open up my podcast app and I'll tell you. Oh, come on, really? Oh, Sean Gunn. Yeah, that's James Gunn's brother. And that was a great episode. The other one that I listened to that was really good, that I highly recommend listening to, is Sean Astin. That episode was really good. I knew his mom was Patty Duke, but I did not know his mom was bipolar. And he had a very weird relationship with his mom, I guess. So, and what's funny with that, for me anyway, was that all the stuff he was talking about his mom, I'm like, oh my God, I had this. I dealt with the same kind of thing with my dad. I love my dad. I do. But I can't always be around him. Or I can't even talk to him sometimes because he has the uncanny ability to push every button that I have. So, but yes, listen to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Great podcast. Oh my God, it's amazing. I love it. I look forward to every episode, even if it's somebody I have no idea who it is, because I know it's going to be entertaining. I know it's also going to, it's going to touch on something that I can relate to. He has another podcast that he just started doing with Chris Sullivan, who is, see here, this is what it says. This is what it says for the In Love podcast, is what it's called. In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan. In a world of cynicism, sarcasm, and irony, Michael Rosenbaum, Smallville, Chris Sullivan, This Is Us, discuss the things in their lives that bring them joy, fulfillment, and gratitude. They invite their audience and their guests to do the same. In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan is the upbeat antidote for everything that's bringing you down, and hopefully through the process, we will become better people, friends, and lovers. What are you in love with? Well, I can tell you right now, I'm in love with this podcast. It's a great, great podcast. I haven't listened to the most recent one that came out a few days ago, but the last one I listened to was Seth Green and his wife, Claire Grant. Great episode. And then the first one, which was, it was the second one, I take it back, Chrissy Metz and Donnie Barry. Chrissy Metz is also on This Is Us, and Donnie Barry is like her bestest buddy, her best friend, her roommate. So, that's a brand new podcast. The newest one is, and I'm probably going to butcher this guy's last name, Michael Angarano. He's also on This Is Us. He was on the show I'm Dying Up Here. He was one of the kids from Boston on that show. I loved that one. I was sad that it got canceled. If you're not familiar with I'm Dying Up Here, it is a drama series based on the comedy scene in the late 70s. There's even a couple episodes that have Richard Pryor. Although I didn't think the guy looked anything like Richard. He sounded just like him, though. That was a great series. And I believe that was on Showtime. And you could probably find it on Showtime's On Demand or whatever. If it's not already, it's still in like repeats on there. So, In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan, great podcast. I can't recommend it enough, especially if you like, you know, in the review that I wrote for the podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcast rather, it's like eavesdropping on the best conversations at Denny's at 3 a.m. You hear some of the coolest conversations late at night in those all-night diners, you know. Or even if it's somebody you know, you're just hanging out at the table with like six or seven people, all drinking coffee, just chit-chatting, you know, and just talking about life. And one of the things I think is awesome about this podcast is that Chris is determined to get Michael in a healthy relationship by episode 100. We'll see, I guess. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Let's see here. What else? In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan, and Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum are two great podcasts. Right now, they're my top two podcasts that I listen to every week. The other one I love listening to is the ID10T podcast with Chris Hardwick. Great podcast. Always entertaining. Even with the people, I have no idea who they are. And I mentioned earlier, Hollywood Babylon. There's some new episodes for that one as well. And then, another Kevin Smith podcast that I like listening to is Fat Man Beyond, which is basically very similar to Hollywood Babylon, with the exception that they're not talking about, you know, current events. They're basically talking, well, we are talking current events, but more specifically comic books and, like, superhero shows and movies and stuff. And they typically record at a restaurant in L.A. called Scum and Villainy, which is a restaurant that is space bar themed from a galaxy far, far away. Scum and Villainy in L.A. And then another podcast that I absolutely love and I enjoy listening to just because it's just bizarre most of the time, but it's always entertaining, is Bunny Ears. And Bunny Ears is the Macaulay Culkin podcast. great, great podcast. And each episode is different. He doesn't always have a guest, but when he does, it's always fun and entertaining. And I have a couple other podcasts on here, but I haven't listened to them enough to really, or listened to them a lot recently. One of the ones I used to listen to a lot, and I haven't listened in a while because I haven't. Part of it is I think not every episode is something I'd be into. So I stop listening to every episode because sometimes I'm listening and like, I realize after I've been listening for 20 minutes, I just don't care what this guy's talking about. This is not something I'm into. But I listen to it because I like the interviewer for the podcast. The host of the podcast does a great interview. And that's the WTF with Marc Maron. And I think one of the reasons why I stopped listening is someone had pointed out that Mark tends to like babble at the beginning of every episode, and he talks for like 10, 15 minutes about like whatever's on his mind before he has the guest on the show. Kind of like what I'm doing today, just babbling. I'm not really talking about anything specific for very long, very ADD conversation by myself. So, I don't know. I'm still subscribed. And when I see a name that I'm like, oh, I want to listen to that, I'm going to probably just pop it on and listen to it. One of the best episodes he ever did, he interviewed President Obama. If you listen to anything on podcast, you should check out that episode. It was really good. Let's see. Of course, I get all emotional now. My nose is dribbling. You know, I want to thank you guys. If you're still listening, thank you for sticking in there and, you know, letting me ramble for an hour or however long I've been talking. Again, if you want to check out podchaser.com, you can use the 206 Geek as the key to have access to the beta that they're doing right now, which is basically allows. Basically, what it does is gives you access to their social feed, which is they're basically doing their equivalent of a Facebook feed or a Twitter feed, where it's basically all podcasts. Everything that people write, as far as reviews, likes, subscribes. You know, that kind of thing. People that you follow, the things that they like and comment on will show up in your feed. And it's a good way to find other podcasts. You know, I used to tell people, I was like, you know what, search your podcast app for your favorite topic, and then you'll find a show that you like. You know what? You can go even a step further. Go to podchaser.com, type in the name of a person you admire or like, whether it be a sports person or an entertainer of some sort, type in their name. Find out if they've ever done a podcast, if they've hosted a podcast, if they've been a guest on a podcast. Podchaser.com is great. And they're not paying me to say this. I just really dig the site. I think it has potential for being a much bigger and cooler site, and it will definitely introduce people to new podcasts. Have I found any? Yeah, I haven't. Like I said, it's still fairly new, and I have a. If you go to my Podchaser profile, you go to podchaser.com/users/206geek. It will show you like my top eight, which is, you know, like MySpace. My top eight, which are the podcasts that I'm subscribed to. And then it'll show you all the comments and reviews that I've done for episodes and shows, and you know, and it has my list, which is, it lists all the podcasts that I've been talking about for the past hour, or however long I've been talking about podcasts anyway, and you can listen to them right off the website. You don't have to have a podcast app; you can just do it right from the website, which is cool. It will also, if you're doing it from your phone, it will also give you the option to open it in your native podcasting app. Or if you don't have one, it makes suggestions on apps you can install if you're Android. I know a lot of people that use Spotify or Google Play Music, or actually Google now has Google Podcast. Although I recommend using Google Play Music because it has a lot more functionality to it as far as subscribing and marking things as listened or whatever. Let's see what else. What other apps? The one I use on my phone is a great app. It's on both iOS and Android, called Podcast Addict. And the cool thing about that app is that you can share your podcast list, like you can with Podchaser, for that matter. And that's cool, because if you have podcasts that you want to recommend to people, have them go to your Podchaser profile and check out what you like and what you've been commenting on, you know? Anyways, at this point, I'm just kind of babbling, and this is not Hollywood Babylon, so I'm not going to babble anymore. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you guys next week. Be sure to like and follow on all the social medias, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm on all of them, just at 206geek. And I cross-post on all of them, so whatever you see on Facebook will also be on Twitter. And all the images will be on both Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. So you won't miss anything if you're on any one of them. You can do all three for, it doesn't matter to me. See what else. I don't post a lot of stuff on Instagram. I try to, just because I'm trying to use it more. Just because it seems to be the popular one right now, as far as social media goes. Again, thank you for listening. I've been your host, Todd. And have a great weekend, you guys. And I'll talk to you next week. Wrong one. Ah! There we go.